In the beginning of this chapter, we see God addressing several things with the Israelites through Moses. As you look through this book, there are so many different things that they have to consider that are law, that should grab their attention, and should understand the spiritual meaning behind all of these things. At the beginning of this chapter, we see that God has genuine concern for those who are poor, those who can't really help themselves. Jesus had mentioned before that that the poor would always be with us. There's always generally going to be people that are destitute or poor that do not have things. And he did not discount that would be the fact with the Israelites, his covenant people. We see here at the beginning of chapter 15 that it speaks of that at the end of 7 years, they were to release their brethren of any debts they had with them. So they could borrow and lend out money to them, not charge interest. But at the end of 7 years, any debt that was still outstanding, that would be canceled and forgiven. So therefore, there wouldn't be any long-term debt, which obviously you think about us, we have long-term debt with mortgages, and that would just be amazing if banks like Regions Bank would say at seventh year, you know, that debt is canceled. But it doesn't work that way for us, but that would be nice. The text goes on to further state that they should always be willing to help out the poor, that this is something that should just be their character, always be willing to lend a hand and help out the poor. It says in verses 7 through 11, it talks about how they should open their hands wide to them, whatever is needed. I love the picture of them opening their hands wide to them. In other words, it's not coming to them with a partial closed fist or open fist. It's open wide. Anything that your brethren needs, help them with that. Because understand that person could be you. You could be that poor, impoverished person, and you would be desiring that help because you would be in need as well. But tonight I want to focus clearly on verses 12 through 17 in our invitation this evening. So let's look at that. Knowing what we just saw with the debt and the generosity that we should have to the poor, the Israelites should, let's consider verses 12 through 17. Beginning in verse 12, if your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress, from what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this thing today. Verse 16, and if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you, because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door. And he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise. So we see here, even as debts were canceled in that seventh year, so were slaves to be freed. If you were purchased by someone, or if you were in debt to someone and you became their slave and they were your master, on the seventh year you would be freed from that. The slaves thought of here are those who possibly had to sell themselves into slavery because of their debt, because they had no other choice. But the worst thing that could happen to them is that they would have to serve someone for 6 years, but on the seventh they would be released from that. He also said here that you shall not let him go away empty-handed. So here we're having generosity to these departed slaves, giving him something to start his new life with. Because keep in mind, that person was owned by that master. And so they would be released and start a new life. And how difficult would it be for this slave to be released and have nothing to their name? And to just go out and trying to start from ground zero, from scratch. But they were to give them something when they departed so they could start this new life with something. This would give them freedom. This would give them hope. And great incentive over that 6 year period to please their master. But there is something that we read here in verse 16 that might seem just very unusual to the situation. Put yourself in this situation where you have served someone for this amount of time and you would seem to be very looking forward to that freedom, to get away from this situation. But we have a situation where it says, if the servant says he doesn't want to leave, then that's a choice. And one of the reasons why he would not want to leave, because of love. He loves that master. He loves the household. He loves everything about being a servant. Then he can stay. The slave was not required to leave his master at the seventh year here. This gives him that option, that choice. And this would be confirmed by piercing through the servant's earlobe with an awl at the door of his master's home. And in this would be a declaration of his love for his master, that he may stay with him and his household. This would be something that would be his choice, a free will, if this is something that he wanted to do and devote himself entirely to his master, he could do that. But he was free to choose to leave, but yet he chose his master. Can you not help but think of the spiritual connotations here with us and Jesus Christ? In fact, Jesus Christ showed himself in this situation. Jesus Christ was a willing slave to his master, the Father. This was his choice. Jesus Christ had the free will and had the choice, just as you and I do, to be obedient to his master, God the Father. And he chose to do his will. We see him set aside the thoughts and the feelings that he had in the Garden of Gethsemane, but yet he wanted to do the will of the Father. He was this willing servant to his master. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 50, we can see much of the willingness of Jesus Christ shown on the cross and leading up to the cross. Isaiah chapter 50, this is prophesied of him in verses 5 through 7. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Isn't it interesting there at the beginning of verse 5 that he said that he opened up his ear? I don't know if that's a direct connotation to what we're studying tonight, but it is interesting that that is mentioned here. But Jesus is our perfect example. He is the willing servant, ready to serve his master, and not willing to depart, even though he has that choice. We also should be willing slaves, willing servants of our master. We are ones who fully submit to the master. Why? Because, just like this one in Deuteronomy chapter 15, we love him. And we prosper when we are with him. And it's clearly evident that that is the best possible life for us. We can prosper spiritually with Jesus Christ as our master. The Greek word for slave is doulos. That's D-O-U-L-O-S. And it means a slave, a bondservant, one who is in a permanent relation of servitude to another. That's the definition of a slave or a servant. We are in permanent relation of servitude to each other and to Jesus Christ. And finally, it said that he would be the master's servant forever. This is not just something, it's another 6-year commitment. This is forever. This is his decision. And once agreeing to be a bondslave and having his ear pierced the way that he did, that one was committed to their master forever. And he bore that sign in his ear that I belong to my master. And this is my choice. It was a permanent relationship. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 17, we see Paul here, in a sense, conveying the same type of relationship with Jesus Christ. That just as the slave in Deuteronomy chapter 15 bore the resemblance of belonging to his master, Paul mentions it in a similar manner in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. He says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." There was a reason that he went through all the things that he went through, and there was a reason for all the marks that were inflicted upon him, both inwardly and outwardly. It was because he was devoted to his master, the Lord Jesus. That's a servant. That's a servant, and that's what Paul was. He was a slave for life to Jesus. You know, a lot of times we look at the term slave in a negative connotation. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with, you know, slavery and the Civil War and what the society has turned it into. But a slave is basically someone who submits to a master. And that's what we are. We submit to their will, we go at their command, and we're willing to do that. Through Jesus, we can be set free from sin. But wait a minute, I thought we're supposed to be slaves or servants. There is freedom in being a slave. Because what are you no longer a slave to? Sin. When you choose to obey the Master, Jesus Christ, you have now found a new freedom. You're no longer tied to slavery of sin. You are now a slave of righteousness. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what are you a slave to? Romans chapter 6 says if you are not following the Lord Jesus Christ and is submitted to Him, you are a slave of sin. That is what you devote your life to in servitude, believe it or not. And that's a sad thing to say. But when we turn our lives over to the Master, and we, in a sense, have Him pierce our ear, we say to Him, we are your slave forever, and you are our Master. And this is our permanent relationship. In extending the invitation, we're going to sing a song called Pierce My Ear. If you look in your supplement, look at the very back of your supplement, there should be a song there entitled Pierce My Ear. If you can't find it, I have some extra, but everybody, I try to put one in everybody's supplemental songbook. Please raise your hand if you cannot find that in your songbook. So if you're subject to the invitation, please understand that you have the opportunity now to commit yourselves to the Master, Jesus Christ, to be in a permanent relationship with Him, and He will welcome you with open arms. So if you're subject to that invitation, please come as we stand and as we sing. Do me.